This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Time now for part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Farm Credit Services of Illinois and by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra.
If you're looking for commitment, flexibility, competitive interest rates, and on-the-farm service, then try Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 95 years, generations of farmers have been turning to Farm Credit for all their farm financing and crop insurance needs. As a farmer-owned and directed cooperative, Farm Credit is there to meet the needs of today's farm families. Whether it's a farm real estate loan, operating line of credit, machinery refinance, or one of our many crop insurance options, Farm Credit has the products farmers want with the service you deserve. Products and services delivered by professionals who know agriculture. It's our only business. Farm Credit brings a higher level of experience and expertise to farm lending, providing better financial solutions for your farm business. Call Farm Credit Services of Illinois today at 800-444-FARM. Remember, 800-444-FARM. Whether we're in the field with you or in the office for you, farming is our life too.
As summer approaches, it seems everyone is worried about gas prices. And Smokey Jennings Chevrolet in Palmyra has 10 Chevy models offering 30 mpg highway or better. The 2012 Equinox at 32, the all-new Sonic at 35, the Impala at 30, the Cruze at 39, and the all-new 2013 Malibu at 37. At Smokey Jennings, they're on the ground and ready to sell. 35 cars and Equinoxes in stock. Smokey Jennings is ready to show you why their customers rate them in the top 5 for customer satisfaction in the St. Louis region. Smokey Jennings, family-owned and operated since 1946. Chevy runs deep.
It's 10 minutes after 6 on this Thursday morning from WSMI FM 106. Electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade right now. July corn trading at 6.08, up 4.5. September corn at 5.38 and a quarter, up 1.25. December corn 5.24 and 3/4, up 1.75. July soybeans and electronic trading, 13.77, up 14.5. August beans, 13.55.5, up 13. September beans, 13.08, up 13. Wheat on the Chicago Board of Trade and electronic trading for July, 6.73, that's up 7.5. September wheat, 6.87.5, up 7.75. December wheat, 7.87. up 6.5. July soybean meal and electronic trading right now, 409.71, up 39. August meal, 395.80, up 24. Soybean oil for July, 49.48, up 57. August soybean oil, 49.72, up 59. July oats and electronic trading right now, 322.5. That was down 2.5. The overnight crude oil market, 95 cents higher at 90.85. The Brent crude, 65 cents higher at 106.21. The June gold contract, 17.60 higher at 15.66. The dollar index, 0.032 higher at 82.021. At the close yesterday on the Chicago Board of Trade, July corn ended up 6.03.5, up 6.5. September corn, 5.29, up 3. December corn, 5.23, up a penny. July soybeans yesterday, 13.62.5, down 19.75. August beans, 13.42.5, down 22.25. September beans, 12.95, and that was down 1.96. July wheat yesterday closed 6.65.5, down 20. September wheat closed at 6.79.75, down 17.75. December wheat, $7.05, that was down 16. July oats yesterday ended up 3.25, down 8.5. September oats, 3.29, that was down 9. July soybean meal yesterday ended at 405.80, up 8. August meal ended up 392.60, down 4. September meal, 377.60, up 9. July soybean oil yesterday ended up 48.91, down 155. August oil, 49.13, down 155. September oil ended up 49.35, down 153. Right now, we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for the Cash Grain Report.
This is Ken McFarland with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture Grain Market News Report. Illinois country grain prices were mixed on Wednesday afternoon, with soybeans and wheat being sharply lower and corn higher. Corn futures were supported by aggressive commercial buying. Northern Western Illinois country grain deals quoted their corn bids mostly 2 to 3 cents higher at 617 to 627. Soybeans traded mostly 16 to 22 cents lower at 1332 to 1342. Central Illinois grain deals quoted their corn bids 1 to 6 cents higher at 622 to 637. Soybeans 15 to 20 cents lower at 1344 to 1360. In southern Illinois, corn bids were 2 to 5 cents higher at 623 to 655. Soybeans 17 to 20 cents lower at 1350 to 1367. And wheat was 18 to 22 cents lower at 642 to 679. St. Louis area elevators and mills reported their corn bids 2 to 10 cents higher, ranging from 623 to 635. Soybeans were down 14 to 22 cents at 1353 to 1356. And wheat was 23 to 24 cents lower at 652 to 679. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted their corn bids 4 to 8 cents higher at 630 to 637. Soybeans dropped 11 to 20 cents at 1364 to 1368. And new crop wheat was mostly 20 cents lower at 648 to 651. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their corn bids 4 to 5 cents higher at 645 to 650. These elevators lowered their soybean prices 16 to 19 cents with quotations at 1373 to 1375. Wheat closed 20 cents lower at 675 to 676, and milo was up 8 cents at 575 to 576. This is Kim McCorlin returning to WSMI.
Right now in electronic trading on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, June cattle trading at 118.35, August cattle 120.17, May feeder cattle trading at 152.42, August feeders at 158.30. Live hogs for June now trading at 84.20 and for July 84.55. Yesterday on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, June hogs ended up at 84.42, down 140. July hogs 85.55, down 60. August hogs 85.95, down 90. June cattle yesterday ended at 117.80, down 155. August cattle ended at 119.50, down 177. October cattle ended at 124.15, down 155. May feeder cattle yesterday ended at 152.42, down a dime. August feeders 158.47, down 165. September feeders ended at 159.60, down 157. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for the Cash Livestock Market Report.
The closing livestock reports for Wednesday, May 23rd. For the Eastern Corn Belt, daily direct hogs, barrels, and gilts closed $1.46 lower. Carcass base price range 70 to 82.5, weighted average 80.49. Hogs purchased in Illinois today 13,600. Illinois direct brown gilt trade was steady to two higher, 55 to 58, with Illinois direct slaughter sows mostly steady. U.S. 1s to 3s under 400 pounds and 400 to 450 pounds at 42 to 45. 450 to 550 pounds at 44 to 48. Over 550 pounds at 46 to 50. Today's estimated receipts 1,250 and Tuesday's actual 1,300. Pork carcass cutout 78.64, down 96 cents. Estimated daily livestock slaughter under federal inspection. Hogs for today 417,000. Last week and a year ago, both 414,000. Week to date of 1,252,000. Cattle for today and last week, both 124,000. A year ago, 125,000. Week to date, 376,000. Box beef cutout values were firm to higher on moderate demand and light to moderate offerings. Total movement today, 160 fabulos with 60 trim. Choice, 195.37, that is up $1.09. Select at 187.65, and that is up 61 cents. At the United Producers Auction over at Shelbyville, 560 heads sold yesterday. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers sold 2 to 2.5 higher, with Holstein steers a dollar higher. Slaughter steers, choice 2s to 3s, 122 to 126.75. Holstein steers, choice 2s to 3s, 113.75 to 119. Heifers, choice 2s to 3s, 121 to 126. At the Fairview Livestock Auction, 233 heads sold yesterday. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers sold 50 cents to a dollar higher, with slaughter cows and bulls 3 to 5 higher, with a few fed cows offered. Slaughter steers, choice 2s to 3s, traded at 120 to 125.75. Heifers, choice 2s to 3s at 120 to 125.75. Slaughter cows, breaking type, 92 to 99. Boning type cows at 86 to 90 and a quarter. And lean cows at 75 and a half to 80 and a half. With slaughter bulls, your grade 1s at 93 to $1.75. Open a report for the Greenville Livestock Auction. Estimated receipts this morning, 618. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers were trading a dollar to dollar and a half lower, with Holstein steers a dollar and a half higher. Slaughter steers, choice 2s to 3s, 121 and a half to 123 and a half. Select and choice 2s and 3s, 115 and a half to 120 and a half. Holstein steers, choice 2s to 3s, 112 and a half to 114 and a half. Heifers, choice 2s to 3s, 121 to 123 and a half. Select and choice 2s and 3s, 116 to 120 and a half. Thank you. This is Kim Harmon with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture Livestock Grain Market News Service, returning back to WSMI.
Spot prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday: for butter, 138 and a half unchanged; for block cheese, 150 unchanged; for barrel cheese, 147 up 1. The class 3 milk price ending yesterday, 1558. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for May, 624; for June, 611; corn delivered to Scottville for May, 624; for June, 603. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for May, 1347; for June, 1357. Wheat delivered to Scottville for May, 628. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Pre-opening prices again: corn at Greenfield and Scottville, 624; beans at Scottville or Greenfield, 1347; wheat at Scottville, 628. Right now, in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade, July corn, 608 and a half, up a nickel; September corn, 531 and a quarter, up 2 and a quarter; July beans, 1376 and a half, up 14; August beans, 1354 and a quarter, up 11 and three quarter; July wheat, 673 and a quarter, up 7 and three quarter; September wheat, 687 and a quarter, up 7 and a half; July oats, 322 and a quarter, that's down 2 and three quarter. That's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Color radar shows no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by Carlinville Truck Equipment and by the M&M Service Company.
M&M Service Company is now treating soybeans with the seed treatments to help you get the highest yield and best stand possible. Treating soybeans is the most effective way to protect your soybean stand against seedling diseases and insects while also providing early vigor. M&M also offers inoculate treatments. Your soybean crop is worth more today than ever before, and it makes sense to protect and enhance it with a seed treatment from M&M Service. Ask your crop specialist about the advantages of having your soybeans treated today. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of need.
Carlinville Truck Equipment is the one name you need to know for truck and trailer repair. Plus, they have a large supply of steel and aluminum toolboxes for your truck at competitive prices. For help with your farm beds, hoist, tag, or pusher axles, lift gates, or any other truck-related equipment, see Carlinville Truck Equipment. You can count on Norm Craze and his staff for fast, dependable service. Carlinville Truck Equipment, 1900 North University, Carlinville. Call 854-6706.
Sunny skies today, the high about 90 degrees with south winds gusting to 35 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy and windy, low temperatures in the upper 60s. For tomorrow, Friday, partly cloudy skies, the high about 90. Your extended weather forecast for Saturday through Memorial Day: clear to partly cloudy skies, and we will have a slight chance of a shower Monday. Low temperatures in the low 70s, highs in the low 90s. Right now at the Weather Center, south winds at 6 miles per hour. The barometric pressure is rising. Our temperature, 64 degrees under partly cloudy skies. This check of color radar weather brought to you this morning by M&M Service Company and by Carlinville Truck Equipment. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you this morning by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro and by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn. In our farm news today, Wednesday, we continued our farmer checks on WSMI. We talked to Mark Nodal of the Fillmore area. We asked him about the rain last weekend.
Varied anywhere from about 2 tenths, and right around the house we had anywhere from 7 tenths to an inch, and then to the east of us we had a farmer that got 2 inches, a little over 2 inches the other night.
That gave the corn crop a shot in the arm, didn't it?
Yeah, the corn crop's actually looking pretty good right now. It's kind of getting some heat and some water now, and it was showing just a little bit of stress there on some of them days and stuff where it was starting to need some water because the roots haven't got down there, but it's getting a nice green color to it right now, and it's really starting to take off.
Have you finished planting beans?
Yes, we finished up on Saturday the 19th for the first time anyway, and for the most part, I think we'll be all right, but we'll probably, where we got that 2-inch rain there, we may have to do some spotting in. We'll have to see what Mother Nature does. If we get another rain to help soften the ground up, we'll be pretty good, but they're not talking that till maybe Memorial Day, so, which we usually get a pretty big rain around Memorial Day weekend sometimes. So
that's true enough. How does your wheat crop look now?
It's coming right along. I'm guessing somewhere around the 10th of June is probably when we'll be harvesting it, and it's probably just going to be average, just as maybe a shade below average. The frost and striped rust got in it, and just several things and stuff that just didn't help out. And another thing that didn't help out is we didn't get enough rain earlier on to get the nitrogen, the urea, down to the roots good. And it kind of showed up as a little bit spotty across the field till it did actually get some rain. So I just had probably too many things going wrong for it to be a great crop.
Last week on the Illinois Crop Tour, they guesstimated the yield at about 56 bushel. Do you agree with that?
Oh, that could be pretty close, I would think. We're guessing anywhere from possibly 45 to 55. So I would say they're pretty close on that, maybe 50, something like that. So we'll see in about 2 or 3 weeks on how good it is.
And that was Fillmore area farmer Mark Nodal. Also on Wednesday, we talked to M&M crop consultant Bill Brink. He said that some of the replanted corn in the area, in the area's fields, should not be a problem this fall.
You know, the late planted corn grows more quickly, you know, with the growing degree day accumulation each day. So it tends to catch up with, you know, the original planting if there's not too much distance between the two planting dates. But I was just talking to a farmer this morning, and we were talking about that, and he said, you know, when I get on the combine in the fall, he says, I never know whether I did any good last spring replanting or not. And so it's, you know, it's always a big question. Naturally, it's, you know, more of a cosmetic thing in many cases to fill in those holes because, you know, the later planting usually doesn't yield as well as the original planting. But to answer your original question, it does have a tendency to catch up plant height wise because it grows you know, more quickly you know, with warmer temperatures. So it's always a big question that farmers have whether they're doing any good, but at least it makes them feel better to go out there and see the field completely planted compared to some of those spots out there that have no you know, no plants at all. So it's a good question. You know, I've always been my thought has always been that if you're going to do some replanting, you know, just better tear up the entire field or a good portion of the field, and you know, just have the one planting out there. But it just depends, you know. Certainly, some of those little water spots they can fill in pretty easily.
And there are still a lot around, aren't there?
Yeah, there are. Again, this farmer that I was talking to this morning, he's still going to go out and patch in some corn. But, of course, there were some late-planted corn. So he was still going to plant some here today or tomorrow when he can get out there.
It seems like it's that time of year. If you're not doing anything else on the farm, you can just sit there and watch the corn grow.
Yeah, you can. But one thing that, and I've mentioned this probably a couple of times before, one thing that is bothering me as I drive around is I still see a lot of weeds in some of these cornfields. And, you know, we've talked about this before. Unlike soybeans, you know, you start getting, you know, a yield penalty whenever you let weeds grow early in a corn crop. For example, I was looking last night had a study from Iowa State University showing that there could be over a one bushel per day yield decrease if weeds are growing between the V2 and V4 stage in corn. And that really jumps from V4 to V5, there can be a 17 bushel decrease in yield per day. Now, of course, there's not many days involved between corn growth from V4 to V5, but still, it just shows that there can be a tremendous yield penalty if weeds are growing up until the V5 stage. And, I've noticed several fields as I drive around. I think farmers, should prioritize and get those weeds controlled in those corn fields, because unlike soybeans, there can be a tremendous yield penalty if weeds continue to grow in those corn fields up to V5.
Are we at a point in the growing season where it may be too late for some fields to spray for those weeds you talked about?
Well, of course, it's never too late. If you can get in there, if you can travel in there with, an applicator, you should, get the weeds controlled just as soon as you possibly can. So in my estimation, there's not much excuse now, because we've got a large number of herbicides that can be used. And when we talk about post-emergence herbicides, make sure that you, check the label and see if there's any plant height restrictions. For example, we talked about it last week, I think 2,4-D, can be broadcast up until about 8 inches, and then after that it's got to be, dropped. And also glyphosate, Roundup can go on up until about 30 inches. So there's a wide window of application with the number of herbicides that we have. But if you have any questions, about weed control, I would suggest, contacting your local, M&M crop specialist, and he can design a weed control program, in your crops, corn or soybeans.
Okay. And a lot of the corn crop that is up, a lot of it does look good.
Very good. I've walked fields, and I've not seen, it's been a kind of unusual. I've not seen any insect problems at all. Now, as soon as I say that, I'm going to probably get a telephone call from somebody and says, hey, you haven't been in my part of the county or whatever. But I've personally not seen any problems. I did see a little wireworm damage last week, but that's about the only thing I've seen. Disease-wise, about the only thing that can come in on corn is early in the growing season is anthracnose. We've seen a little bit of that, but that usually doesn't cause any problems later on. Now, there is an anthracnose stalk rot that can come in very late in the growing season, but the leaf blight, the anthracnose leaf blight that we're seeing now, usually doesn't cause any problems. And as far as, the dry weather, if we're going to have dry weather, this is the time to have it for corn. We want to stimulate that that root system to go down deep into the soil. It's much better if we're going to have dry conditions. It's much better to have them now than later on, say in July and first part of August. So right now the corn crop looks very good. It's kind of unusual that I talk to people and say they're not really satisfied with their corn cropping. Of course, there are some of the fields that have to be or had to be replanted. But in general, the corn crop looks very good.
And that was M&M crop consultant Bill Brink. In other farm news, sweet corn growers have had a big problem controlling weeds because the herbicides labeled for use on the crop sometimes kills it. Todd Gleason reports that researchers at the University of Illinois have worked out the problem.
Less than a decade ago, the Midwest food processors said the number one problem in sweet corn production was that some hybrids were injured or killed by herbicides registered for use on them. Marty Williams of USDA's Agricultural Research Service and his University of Illinois colleagues decided to find out why and if something could be done about it.
In collaboration with Snook Pataky and myself, we've been working on this problem for 7 years now. Found out the genetic basis for it, have an understanding of now the seed companies are developing lines that are tolerant, more tolerant to herbicides. However, we're still going ahead and looking at what hybrids that are available today that might be potential problems with some of the herbicides that are registered. There's new products coming out. In that particular study we had a couple new products that are on the pipeline, going to be available to growers soon. Because the seed companies, it'll take them several years, based on the work we did, it'll take them several years to develop more tolerant hybrids. In the meantime, we're going to find out, are there certain hybrids to avoid certain herbicide combinations.
Well, the most abundant weed species found in sweet corn fields of the Midwest are fall panaceum, giant foxtail, wild proso millet, common lamb's quarter, and velvet leaf or buttonweed. Each state, says Williams, has its own uniquely dominant weeds, weeds that need to be controlled in some way because they can cause serious yield loss. Williams did a survey of 175 sweet corn fields last season. He was able to identify the highest yielding fields as those that used inter-row cultivation, a sweet corn hybrid that matured in less than 84 days and were in the northern part of the production region. For those fields that didn't do as well, weed interference was the best indicator of yield loss. During the field visits, Williams and his team also predicted yield loss due to weeds. Ultimately, he notes, over half of the sweet corn fields in the Midwest had a level of weed interference sufficient to cause yield loss. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Even though producers are still busy in the fields, they also need to keep in mind some upcoming paperwork deadlines. As if farmers didn't have enough to think about this time of year, the local Farm Service Agency offices are reminding producers that there are some important deadlines quickly approaching. Lee Rodarmel, executive director of the Shelby County FSA office, indicates June 1st is the deadline for filing the DCP, Acre, and Sure programs.
The deadline for the sign-up for the direct and countercyclical payment program and the average crop revenue election program is June 1st. There was no option for the advance payment, so all of your payment will come in October, but that still means you have to sign up by June 1st. Also, we do have the SURE program, which is our disaster program. The deadline for it would be June 1st.
Mr. Rodarmel says it's important for producers to notify the FSA office of any farm changes before enrolling in the programs. He also notes the Acre program has been gaining in popularity in recent years.
The Acre program essentially looks at two triggers, the state trigger and then also the farm trigger. And what you're looking at is historical revenue data on the state average based upon the actual year that you're in. And then you're also going to look at the farm level. You're going to look at the historical revenue averages for the farm and then also the actual revenue for the farm on the year basis. If the averages for both of those exceed the actual year, then there's a great possibility for a payment.
The SURE program is aimed at disaster assistance for farmers. John Peters, the executive director of the Logan County FSA office, says the upcoming deadline for that program is for losses sustained in 2010.
We had the 2010 SURE disaster program. This is for losses incurred in 2010. Eligibility requirements for this would be at least a 10% production loss, and you must have crop insurance on all acreage that are able to be insured by the federal crop program. The deadline for that, again, is June 1st.
And once again, the deadline to enroll in the DCP Acre Insure programs is June 1st, and to learn more, contact your local Farm Service Agency office. Before the United States Department of Agriculture considers changes to the release times of market-moving farm reports in the face of expanding trading hours, Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack says the department will seek public input. Secretary Vilsack says it's a complicated issue and the USDA wants to assure equitable release of information for all market participants. Some traders would like the USDA to release major reports while the markets are closed. Others would like to capture the instantaneous surges in trading that would accompany a live release or of significant information. According to Secretary Vilsack, the department is currently analyzing the pros and cons of various ways to approach the release of reports, but whatever they decide, he says the public will have an opportunity to react. The Star Shooters 4-H Club of Nokomis is having a food drive. They will accept non-perishable food items and unopened personal hygiene products. Donations can be made at the Nokomis Public Library today through next Wednesday the 30th, and it ends next Wednesday the 30th at 12 noon. That's all for part two of the Morning Farm Show on this Thursday morning. Once again, in electronic trading, July corn, 6.87¾, up 4¼. September corn, 5.38¼, up 1¼. July soybeans, 13.77½. That's up 15. August beans, 13.54¾, up 12¼. July wheat in electronic trading, 6.73. That's up 7½. September wheat, 6.87¼, up 7¼. July oats, 3.22. That is down 3 cents. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro and by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn.